Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP.
Your ear bob okay?
Well, I'm not sure. But you know what it is time for, you guys?
JP Hotspot!
Is it time to hit the sound effect?
Time, JP. Let's go.
JP Hotspot!
There you go.
The ladies love you.
What can I say?
We just need to find you one.
Yeah.
Just one.
We just need one out of that crowd.
I don't know. I kind of enjoy the single life too much right now.
I just don't know to hear. Like somebody that's mature enough for you.
Well, that's the thing is that, okay, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Another day for another time. We'll go to sports.
All right. We'll grill you in another time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as you can tell by my my pullover today, tomorrow's SEC Championship Day. Bama, Georgia, part 20,016.
Yeah, aren't you all tired of the same game all the time?
I mean, it is the two best SEC teams, undoubtedly, so it's going to be a good game. Alabama, hopefully, is going to do to Georgia what they always do to Georgia, which is destroy them. But if they don't, that's been the main question of the sports talking heads. Will Alabama, with three losses that made the SEC championship, still make it into the playoffs, or are they out? I would say, I would argue biasly that Alabama would be in. That's why they put them at 9 this past selection show on Tuesday to give them enough buffer room. You can't punish a team that made a conference championship, in my opinion, because if you do that, then teams are going to start opting out of conference games. And if they're in a spot in the playoff and they know if they lose, they're out, then why even play it in the first place? So I don't think the committee will set the precedent to punish teams that make a conference championship. But it is an interesting story, you know, 3-loss Alabama, will they be in or out? Ultimately, I think either way, Alabama is in. If they lose, as long as it's not like 59-0, I think Alabama will be fine. But on the other hand, you know, Georgia is looking to avenge the loss earlier in the season to Alabama at home. And so who knows if it'll play out any differently or if we'll just see a repeat again. The last time Georgia beat Alabama within the last like 12 matchups was that national championship game in 2021.
That was heartbreaking.
My freshman year of college. We were ready to storm the strip, and then it didn't happen. But anyways, I think it's going to be a great game regardless. We also got Ohio State, Indiana, 1-2 conference matchup in the Big Ten, but who cares about the Big Ten? And it's going to be a good weekend of conference championships. But it's also towards the end of head coach carousel, which leads into the major story, Lane Kiffin and that fiasco. Will this spark change in college football? Because that was, let's just say, a circus, is it putting it lightly. But here's why it was such a circus. You know, everybody was wondering why this was such a big story, Lane Kiffin leaving in the way he did when Ole Miss was going to make the playoffs. The reason why it was such a circus is because of the college football schedule. Signing day was this past Wednesday. So signing day is before conference championships even happen. That's the first signing day for college football. Then there's the spring one. But the first one is in the right after the end of the regular season. So LSU, if you're in their position, you can't go into signing day without a coach. And on the flip side, Ole Miss also can't go into signing day with their coach in limbo and, you know, guys not wanting to sign because they don't know where Lane's going to go. That's why it was such a mess, and that's why it was so ugly. So now you have a playoff team who now has to go into the playoffs with an interim coach because of the college football schedule, and Lane had to dip to go to LSU. So the question is now, will they change the schedule of college football, or will they keep it the same? Or here's the devil's advocate side of it. Did the NCAA love every second of all the eyeballs on the Lane Kiffin drama? Or was that a bad look? Was it bad eyeballs on the whole situation? There's a lot that needs fixed in college football, a lot, in terms of NIL, transfer portal, all that. However, I think an easy one that was just put under the spotlight was the college football schedule, signing day being so early, right before playoffs. And if they don't fix it, I think we're going to see more situations like this. But in terms of Lane, right decision. I'm interested in what y'all think. I think we talked about it the day after it happened. Past all the Lane gonna Lane stuff, what do you think? Do you think he made the right decision to go to LSU, or do you think he should have stuck it out and stayed with Ole Miss through the playoffs?
I don't think they were going to let him stay.
No.
So I don't think, while I wish there could have been a choice for him, could we pretend like there was a choice?
Well, let me rephrase it. Stick with Ole Miss long term or go to LSU.
He was going to go to LSU. He was, that was his stepping stone job. Don't you think?
I mean, I think it was, but I wish he had stayed at Ole Miss. I really do. I mean, how do you, you've built such a program. You've given so much. You've done so well. And then you just dip?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that goes back to a bigger issue of just college football in general. Mm-hmm. I just kind of hate, there's no loyalty from the players or the coaches. It's just a racket.
Well, I actually think LSU comes knocking on your door, you got to take that job, especially for $90 million. I mean, I'm sure Ole Miss could have matched pretty close to what it was, but just plainly speaking, resources-wise, recruitment in Louisiana versus Mississippi, the tradition of the program, even stuff like Ole Miss's stadium, they don't even have a second deck, and you look at, you know, Death Valley, it's Death Valley. Stuff like that matters. So I think ultimately, and plus the $25 million a year he could have for his roster in NIL, that's a once-in-a-lifetime yeah. opportunity as a coach. You got to take that. But I think everybody in this was put in a bad situation. Ole Miss was, Lane Kiffin was, LSU was, because of one thing, and that's the schedule being the way it was. And then now the side of it you were talking about, should Lane been allowed to coach through the playoffs? I think the answer is a resounding absolutely not. Anybody who is arguing that he should have been able to is either naive or it just is on Jimmy Sexton's payroll, who is Lane Kiffin's agent. It's crazy to think that in this world of college football, you would let a guy who's already announced he's going to a rival school to hang around for another month. And Lane claimed that they tried to put in some guardrails with the AD to make them confident that he wouldn't poach their players or poach their coaches. But you can't guarantee that. Like, if you're going to LSU, go to LSU. Go ahead, like, leave. There's no way that they could do that, especially in today's age of college sports. But Pete Golding, I think, is going to do a good job. I think it was important for them to promote from within because you got a guy who knows the players already instead of somebody from the outside that's like, hey, guys, nice to meet you. All right, now let's go play in the playoffs. You know, you needed to promote somebody from within. I think Pete Golding is a great recruiter, great guy long-term for Ole Miss. He was the Alabama defensive coordinator not too long ago, right before he went to Ole Miss. So I think they made the right decision with their interim coach moving forward. But like I said, the story of this is just another disaster with college sports in terms of schedule, portal, NIL, everything. It's such a mess. But who knows? Maybe the NCAA will make that change after this year because he can't, in my opinion, you can't let what happened happen again mm-hmm. with this. It was just too much of a mess.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the listeners think. So 833-687-4448. Text in if you thought Lane made the right decision. And then I'll add a caveat on that. Should they have let Lane stay and coach through the playoffs? And here's another one. Will Ole Miss win the national championship? That would be hilarious, wouldn't it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if Ole Miss were to go all the way. Because what's also funny is that LSU has agreed to match whatever Lane's playoff incentives were on Ole Miss's contract. So if Ole Miss goes all the way and wins, LSU's going to give Lane $1 million.
That's crazy.
So you add another $1 million cherry on top to go.
As if he needed any more. But it is exhausting.
Y'all, this could be a disaster. I'm just saying. I mean, when you're going to a new program, new players that you haven't recruited, a culture, a locker room that you haven't been in, I don't, it could be the best move ever, but there's a risk. This is not risk-free. And even for $90 million, your coaching legacy is a little bit on the line. He could go and tank. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, it's LSU, but I wish you would have stayed. I do have a question because I know we got to go to break. Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
If Alabama gets kicked out of the top 12, who do they replace him with?
Probably somebody like a Miami who's on the outside looking in right now.
Is that who you think should, like, if it can't be Bama, who is that who you think is the most deserving?
Yeah, either like Miami or Vanderbilt. What's funny is that Ooh. Miami's currently on the outside looking in. Notre Dame is in. Miami beat Notre Dame earlier in the year.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. And Notre Dame is not in a conference?
No. So
yeah, that's odd.
So they they kind of get a pass because they don't have to go to a conference championship game. And
Must be nice.
But it's funny because the only reason Notre Dame is in is because their losses came earlier in the year and Miami's losses came later in the year. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Miami beat Notre Dame, so they should be in. But in this awful hypothetical that Alabama gets bumped out if they lose, Miami should be in. Vanderbilt, really, I feel like Vanderbilt would be a fun team to be in there, but they just don't have enough signature wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a lot of heart, which makes it fun. But yeah, this will be interesting to see how this plays out.
Last question.
Uh-huh.
Does sports on JP on sports have a sponsor?
That they do. And I was actually just about to get in that. It's actually Inspire Advisors. And you need to check them out if you haven't heard about them already. Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, they have this thing called Biblically Responsible Investing, BRI, which gears your portfolio to an ethical way of investing. Instead of investing in companies that are against Christian values or maybe they're pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ marriage, you know, whatever it is, they help you to where that doesn't happen and your portfolio isn't aligned with your values. So you make sure you go check them out. That's Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors, the weekly sponsor of JP on Sports.
So they're not into insider trading?
No, they're not.
That's not on their to-do list?
Not quite.
Good.
Okay, then.
We should look into that for sure. Okay, when we come back, Clown World, a little bit of what else did we have?
Wrapping up from our beginning montage.
Yeah, but there was some.
Oh, Festivus.
Oh, Festivus.
Festivus and for the rest of us.
Milo and Tucker, if we have time.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay. We're going to cram it.
We're going to talk fast.
Would you rather? We have to make time for that.
That's true.
Okay, we'll be back.